From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Caroline Ballard. At-home DNA test kits have become popular ways to find out more about your family and your own health. They've also begun to play a role in solving crimes. But as KUER's Nicole Nixon reports, one Utah lawmaker wants to shield DNA data from law enforcement.
Over the past couple years, a trend has emerged in criminal investigations around the country. Police will use DNA of an unknown suspect to search public DNA databases in order to help find a match. Usually, they find a relative of a suspect who's tested their DNA and shared it online. Using those matches as a starting point, investigators can trace a family tree to their suspect. That's what helped solve the infamous Golden State Killer case in California in 2018. It also helped solve two crimes in Utah that same year. But Representative Craig Hall believes it's a violation of privacy.
Of course, it's understandable that law enforcement would want to find leads using this very private DNA information, but I believe that the ends do not justify the means.
The West Valley Republican is proposing to block law enforcement from conducting what he calls mass searches on DNA databases. He says it would allow exceptions for cases where police can show probable cause. Hall expects opposition from law enforcement groups. Leaders of Utah's Chiefs of Police Association did not respond to requests for comment. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
The Grantsville Police Department has released the names and ages of the four people killed in a shooting Friday night. They were all members of the same family. Consuelo Alejandra Haney, 52, and her children Alexis Haney, 15, Matthew Haney, 14, and Malin Haney, 12, were killed. The father, Colin Haney, was also shot but treated and released from a nearby hospital. A juvenile described as being part of the same family was taken into custody and charged with four counts of aggravated murder, one count of attempted aggravated murder, and several counts of felony discharge of a firearm. At a press conference filmed by KSL-TV, Grantsville Police Corporal Rhonda Fields said information has been slow to come out because there are juveniles involved.
The ages of those juveniles haven't been released until today, because if you took note to the ranges, we have multiple schools that are affected, which affects hundreds of students, hundreds of children across our community.
Fields said Tooele County Schools will have resources available for students when school resumes tomorrow. A vigil for the family is scheduled for tonight at 7 in the Grantsville City Park. The investigation is still underway. An 18-year-old was killed in an avalanche while snowmobiling in Davis County on Saturday. The avalanche was unintentionally triggered while Chase Adams was with his father in Farmington Canyon. The Utah Avalanche Center has confirmed that Adams had both a beacon and an airbag backpack, but he did not float when the airbag was deployed. It's the second avalanche fatality in Utah this season. The National Weather Service forecasts chances of rain and snow until Wednesday. The first public comment period recently closed for the Lake Powell Pipeline, a 140-mile buried line that would pump water from Lake Powell near the Utah-Arizona border to Washington and Kane counties. Officials say they received 1,100 comments. The St. George Spectrum reports that's just a fraction of the 16,000 comments submitted for the Northern Corridor, a controversial road project that would run partially through the Red Cliffs National Conservation Area. Critics of the pipeline have said it's unnecessary and expensive, while supporters say it will bring a more reliable water source to growing southern Utah. The comments will inform an environmental impact study of the project, which is expected to be completed by the end of the year. On Martin Luther King Day, community organizers arranged a donation drop to support a new temporary homeless shelter in Salt Lake City. Last week, Mayor Aaron Mendenhall announced that a building in Sugar House will hold 145 emergency beds because the three newly opened homeless resource centers are now operating at 96% capacity. Amy Horman, one of the event organizers, says they saw an opportunity to welcome the shelter and to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with a day of service. Despite planning the event the night before, Horman was surprised by the turnout.
You never know if it's going to be a flop or if the community is going to come out, and they've come out in such force.
The shelter is set to open this week and will remain open until April 15th. You're listening to KUER News. I'm Caroline Ballard.